Hello and welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Trent. I'm here with Alan. And, you know, we look forward to doing these podcast episodes so that we can talk about the things that we're dealing with. And I hope that it all of that helps you as well. And Alan, one of the things before we get into our topic today is that I want to share with everyone that we're doing a giveaway this month. And so we're going to be giving away a copy of the book, One Size Doesn't Fit All, Bringing Out the Best of Any Size Church by Gary McIntosh. And so if you are interested in being in that drawing, if you will email alan@enduringchurches.consulting or trent@enduringchurches.consulting, or you can go to our Facebook page and you can message us about yourself, you know, send us your name, address and phone number and a little about your church, and we'll put you in that drawing. So
that's exciting stuff, Trent, man. I like that. Gonna have a lot of fun.
We're gonna try to do that pretty often. Once every couple of months, we're gonna do a giveaway, and we wanna bless the folks that listen to us. So help us to spread the word.
Yes, and thank you for being listeners on our podcast. This is a lot of fun, and you make us better, and the thoughts of you out there make us better. So thanks for being a part of that. So Trent, I'm excited about today's topic, but I think it's a challenging topic for us today.
Well, it can be, and I think that so much of our lives right now is dealing with frustration, and as we were talking before we started recording now, that you mentioned that there is a lot of frustration, and we don't know what's going to be the end of all this pandemic thing. What's, you know, when do we know is it over and all that? So we want to talk about that. And then how does that confusion, is that a part of our church life as well?
Yeah, Trent, so let me tell you a little bit about where this idea kind of came from. You know, when I was in high school and I was a cross country runner long before I was ever a coach of the sport, I had a coach who would have one workout where he would drive out 5 miles and he would give us a time, and everyone who made it to the bus or truck in the right amount of time, our workout was over. If you didn't make it in the right amount of time, he would drive another mile, and he would keep going until you finally got to where you needed to be in the right amount of time. And so the first time we ever did that workout, I'm coming up on my 5 mile run and I'm literally 50 yards away from the truck, and it drives off.
Oh, and my God.
I was devastated. I mean, I would talk about taking the fun out of my run. It certainly did that. And, you know, we've been dealing in this time of pandemic with, you know, it began as we don't want our hospitals overrun, to we don't know what long-term consequences are, to, you know, all the mask people versus the non-mask people. We've got all these things going on. Mm-hmm. And most of us are frustrated just because we don't know what the end game is. Is it political? Is it medical? Is it scientific? Is it just on feelings? What's the end game? Why is it as it is? And that's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, none of us like it. It's confusing. It makes us feel isolated and alone. All those things. And I began to think about that. How often do we do that in our churches, where we have moving finish lines, where, you know, we tell people that this is what they can expect, but then we come back a few weeks later and we change those expectations on people. And we wonder at times why our church people are confused and frustrated and disconnected. And maybe we're the cause of that, not on purpose and not intentionally, but because we do not have some set finish lines of our own. And so this is something that I'd like for us to talk about. You and I have 4 areas today that we want to talk about, where we tend to move the finish line. You guys may come up with some more. Let us know some areas where you feel like we have moving finish lines, but we want to kind of at least start a discussion on some ways that we move the finish line in our churches. So how does that sound, Trent?
That sounds great, Alan. And You know, part of the reason that I think that we want to do this is not just for us to talk through our frustration, but also to ask you to think about what you do in your church in these four areas, and to put some thought into them so that, you know, you're not only for sure you want to have a biblical basis for what you do, but also that you put some thought and planning into it. Sometimes us pastors, we go by the seat of our pants too much. I'm that way, and I have to work at planning, and we want you to do that so that your folks won't be frustrated. We don't want them to miss the bus. Right, Alan?
That's right. That's right. Trent, you put a great line in our notes today, and I want you to share a little bit about what the communication process needs to be.
Yeah, Alan, I wrote in there that great leaders communicate with clarity. And we know that's hard to do right now because it seems like things are changing. The finish line is moving every week, if not every day. And because we understand this, this is important for you to be a great leader of your ministry, to communicate with clarity. As much as you possibly can. Don't leave your folks guessing about, you know, where the church is going right now. That's so important. You know, tell them where we're aiming as a church. What does God want from me as a person? So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today.
And I think in these four areas, if you'll actually kind of clean up these areas during this time and you really get laser focused on these things, you know, I think you're going to hear some things in the future more about returning to a more simpler form of church with, you know, less programming, more about people and all those kinds of things. I think really gaining clarity in these four areas are going to help us with that as well. So let's talk about them. You know, I think the first place is that we tend to move the finish line is in the area of discipleship. So, Trent, if I ask you, what does a disciple look like? Do you think we would get a same answer from a group of 100 pastors?
Oh, heavens no. Yeah, it's going to be like all over the board. And so, you know, if somebody goes from one church to another church, they'll be like, well, I thought our pastor said it was this, and now you're saying it's this. And so I don't know. It's like stapling Jell-O to the wall, man. It's like I can't get anything thick, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so then ask your church. How many people in your church would be able to define what a disciple looks like? And the problem I think that we run into is that most of us have probably never even cleaned up our own definition of a disciple. And that's something, you know, I've been thinking of. I'm really into simple things, and maybe sometimes those are too simple. But, you know, I think of a disciple as someone who follows after Christ. And really, you know, that's all encompassing in how we think, how we act, you know, how we care for others, all those kinds of things. But I really think disciple equals follower, but I know there's a whole lot more that goes into it. But what happens, I think, a lot of times is that we go and tell our people, we'll preach a series on discipleship. And then the next year we come back and preach a different series on discipleship. And they say, wait, last year you said this was a disciple. And this year you're saying this is a disciple. I'm a little bit confused. And this is kind of hard. So maybe I don't want to do this.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Alan. And as you're asking, what does a disciple look like? The thing that automatically came to my mind, and I hope that I'm communicating that to my church, is that a disciple is a lifelong learner and lover of Jesus, because it is, for me, it has to be lifelong. It's not, you know, well, kids get discipled or youth get discipled. It's all of our lives we're learning. And as you said, following as we fall more in love with Jesus. And so you're right. And so I've caught myself preaching one thing and then a couple of years later preaching something, and because I've gone to another seminar or I've listened to another podcast, I've added to that. And so that is a big danger of making that confusing.
Yeah. You know, Trent, years ago, I'm going to show our age a little bit here, but you remember Cash? Johnny Cash had that song where he worked at the car factory and brought out different parts of a car, and, you know,
Cadillac.
Yeah. And the Cadillac didn't match up. Right. I mean, all the years, cause all the parts changed. And I think that's sadly, I think how the picture of disciples come out a lot of times. Mm-hmm. We don't have a solid picture. And so we kind of come out kind of a hodgepodge kind of person. And I really think that we need to get clarity in what a discipleship process looks like. I love how you said it, that it's lifelong. And, you know, I'm not even sure, you know, when I was growing up, we had churches and we had discipleship training, which had been called training union and all these other kinds mm-hmm. of things in the past, but they were always just these little short-term classes. And what was the point? Was there a process? Was there a plan? Well, you know, Rick Warren, when he did Purpose Driven Church and he talked about his church, they certainly had a discipleship process. And whether you like that process or you don't like that process, the point was, is at least there was a kind of a process in their church that mm-hmm. this is how you become a mature disciple. And I think that was actually a benefit to kingdom ministry, because at least it forced us into a time of clarity on that subject. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I just talked about this some last night, and I was remembering a fellow pastor had written a kind of a letter about this. And he said, you know, I used to think that a disciple, I would find that one person that would just pour into my life. And he said, over the years, I began to realize that it's the entire church that has discipled me. But even in that, I've got to have some things that I've got nailed down of what the church is telling me and teaching me. So I think you're right, Alan.
Yeah. And I think, you know, forming a plan and having a plan of this is where we want you to get, knowing next steps is really important in that. So, you know, one of the ways we move the finish line is in discipleship. So really work in your church to come up with the right process and the right plan and the right definition, all those things for discipleship. The second one, Trent, is that we tend to move the finish line a lot on our people on church membership. Now, that may not be, you know, in our church is pretty set who can be a member, but the expectations of membership in a church, that seems a little bit different from time to time. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, Alan, I've seen that. And you know, it seems like we say one thing, but then we turn around and live out something that's different when it comes to expectations. When somebody joins the church, we want them to be involved. And then the old joke among pastors is if you want to get rid of somebody, make them a member and then they'll disappear. So. Yeah, there's difference in expectations and a lot of times no expectations.
Yeah, if you really want to make it bad, ask them to be a praying member and show up to a prayer meeting, right? So we're gonna pray about your membership. Oh, they're gone. So
yeah.
So, you know, I think it's one of those things again where, you know, do you have a clear expectation of what a true church member looks like? Of course, Tom Rainer wrote a book called I Am a Church Member. There's plenty of other books out there about church membership. But do we have a clear plan and a clear vision of what a true church member is? One of the mistakes that I've made in my new member stuff is not talking enough about the expectations of church members. I think all of us have this little fear in the back of our mind. Well, if I press them too hard, they're going to go away. And like you said,
right.
They go away on their own anyway. I mean, mm-hmm. you're not going to hold everyone who says that they're committed. Jesus didn't even have a perfect track record with that. I mean, he had Judas, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so
right.
Don't expect to outperform Jesus here. You know, we're not going to convince all of them to be committed.
Well, I want to remind folks that we did an earlier podcast on church membership. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that. I think that's important. But you're right. Not only did Jesus lose Judas, which he knew was going to happen, but there were literally hundreds of people that were following at one time and then left when he started talking about, you know, his body and his blood and paying for their sins. And so they kind of disappeared then. You mentioned the term next steps a little bit earlier, and I think that's really important, as not only in discipleship, but in church membership. As somebody begins to visit your church, they should be able to find out very easily what are the next steps if I feel God leading me to be a part of this church?
And I think this is a season where it's been really, really hard to do that because, you know, we do membership classes. Now I need to do membership classes on Zoom, but your attendance is so infrequent and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it changes the dynamic a little bit. But it's important for people to know how they can truly connect with your church because membership does matter and membership does increase the personal expectations of people in regards to the church. And I think it's important to know when you join a church, you are committing to that church. And so it's important, you know, so how do you determine that? What are your plans going to be? And they're a little bit different from church to church. That's okay. I mean, allow your church to be you and who you are. Don't let us tell you how to set up your church membership plan, but have a membership plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of the struggle too, is that we forget to tell people how important church is. And you know, people won't be discipled without the church. God doesn't make orphans. He makes people that are part of a family and a local family. And so this whole virtual visiting part is a struggle with that. You know, how do we deal with all that? But it's still important for people to be a part, an active member of a local body of Christ.
So we talked about discipleship, church membership. Trent, what about leader expectations? Because it seems to me that, and I've been guilty of it as well, that I'll hold some leaders accountable to a high threshold of expectations and others I don't. But that's a problem in leadership, isn't it? When we have moving expectations among leaders.
It really is. And it's so frustrating. I mean, we got these folks that we have a leadership team of 12 that we put together in our church, and we've put them in place instead of like a deacon body or whatever. They're the ones that kind of help lead and guide our church. But you know, sometimes you have a meeting planned and then they don't show up, or the last minute they come up with excuses and you're like, come on guys, you know, what's important? And so this last week, I literally sent out a text to my leadership team about an important meeting coming up. We've got a speaker coming in. He's going to talk about, you know, what does leadership do for a church and how does the budget process work? And so I put in there in the message to everyone, this is not you can't choose. You have to be at this meeting. And then, I mean, it was like 30 seconds later, I had somebody say, well, I can't be there. Like, really? So frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, and that is, fear of accountability is one of the five dysfunctions of a team that Patrick mm-hmm. Lencioni talks about. And that's probably my hardest one too. You know, and I also don't like it when your expectations are not reasonable. You know, I remember when mm-hmm. I was working when I was a bivocational church planter and I was doing some regional marketing, I took off guns ablaze and I was highly successful. I had all these big markets. I had Denver and San Diego and Los Angeles and Arizona and Seattle and Portland. And I was traveling all the time. And I was actually, for the only time in my life, I was making money. And they came to me about a year into that and said, hey, you've done a really good job. We're going to split your market. And they didn't give me any compensation or anything for splitting my market. But I noticed that the expectations for all my numbers remained the same, even though they cut my market in half, you know? And so I was expected, as it became a motto, to kind of do more with less. And so then a couple of years later, they come back to me and say, hey, you've done a great job. Thanks. We're going to cut your market again. And so I was expected to do the same amount of work and reach the same amount of numbers that I made when I had, you know, markets like Denver, Phoenix, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle. I was expected to make those same numbers with Denver, Albuquerque, El Paso, and Phoenix. And I was like, this is impossible. you've asked me, you've kind of moved a finish line on me with unrealistic mm-hmm. expectations. And that was when I recognized that, you know, it was really time to move back into a full-time ministry role. But, you know, it's frustrating when you're held accountable for unrealistic expectations or that you have no expectations at all. And so you want to certainly have good leadership expectations. So define the roles. What is the role? Mm-hmm. You know, set those expectations. If you're going to say that my leaders need to be givers, and I would encourage you that your leaders need to be givers, then even if you don't look at the numbers, get a report from the person who does. Are these people givers? Mm-hmm. You know those things and follow up with people too. Let them know how they're doing in their roles.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, if you say you're going to do something and you've set out this is what a leader is supposed to do, then don't just say that to begin with. And I've been guilty of this. I mean, I was, as you're saying that, I'm like, oh crap, I need to go and do this with my leaders and say, hey, remember we said we were going to do this. And so it's so important to continue your expectations and follow through with those.
Well, the only reason I can say that is because I'm so bad at that, right? I
mean, great.
You know, there are some leaders. Yeah, there are some leaders. And that's what, you know, I've been fortunate to be around some people who are really, really good in that area. Now, usually because they're good there probably means that they're really bad in a different one. But, you know, there are some who are really, really good and they just get right back to you. Hey, did you get this done and this and hold you accountable? And that's important. It's important to have those people in your life and in your church's life who are good in that area and who do love to hold people accountable in that. So there's three of them, Trent: discipleship, church membership, leadership. How about this one? Mission and vision. I think people's necks can almost get whiplash from how often we change our mission and vision of our churches.
Yeah, it's like what's the movie with the girl's head spinning around? That's kind of the picture.
That's a horror movie. Oh, we would never make our churches a horror movie, would we?
Well, I don't know. but yeah, you're right. It seems like this is an area, and you know, that was a big deal. You know, when leadership training started becoming a big deal in the late 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and everybody's like, you got to do a mission and vision statement. Then it depended on whoever the leader it was, you went to their seminar, and then it changed. And so our churches have gotten whiplash on this deal. It is constantly changing. And so depending on the seminar you've gone to, we just add to. And it's like stapling Jell-O to the wall. I can't get anything to stick.
Yeah, I would encourage you, you know, if you're a new pastor in a church, learn what the mission statement was. And, you know, mission statements and mission of a church, that really doesn't change. We may change how we say it, but our mm-hmm. mission really doesn't change. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is our mission. And of course, we've got the purposes within that mission. Now, your mm-hmm. vision of how that looks uniquely to you is a little more personal. And so, you know, you've got to give at least 3 to 5 years to a vision. You know, I mean, I would used to say it'd be 5 to 7, but I think mm-hmm. 3 to 5 now is probably what you need with a vision. And within that vision, you may have one or two or three emphases that you're doing, even a yearly emphasis with that vision. But give time to your vision. Don't let people get whiplash, and certainly don't give them seminar syndrome. And, you know, Trent, what do we mean when we talk about seminar syndrome? Because I know you've mentioned this a lot on our podcast.
Yeah, you know, depending on the leader that we've gone and listened to this week, we just take their stuff and we copy and paste it into our things that we have, you know, and so people are like, oh, dang, he went to another seminar. And so here we go again, you know. And so it can be frustrating, I think, to your church members.
You know, I started an audio book yesterday. I'm going back and I wanted to read some books on preaching from people that I grew up enjoying. And so I read Tony Evans' book on preaching, and then I ran across Chuck Swindoll's book on preaching. I always loved Chuck Swindoll. I mean, I just thought he was one of the best illustrators ever. And so I grabbed this book, and one of the first things that he tells you in this book is you've got to be true to who you are. If you try to copy and paste what I do, you're basically being a fraud in the pulpit. And that is so true. We need to be uniquely us. Your church needs to be uniquely you. Don't take someone else's vision statement. Don't take someone else's vision and try to copy that. And, you know, be who you are and be something that you and your people can buy into.
And so, Alan, that is the perfect segue to our information about our giveaway, because I'm reading this book right now called One Size Doesn't Fit All, Bringing Out the Best in Any Size Church by Gary McIntosh. And it says exactly what you just said, Alan, and that, you know, we go to these seminars and we get these information about, okay, I'm going to go and, you know, I'm getting this information from a mega church pastor and I'm going to go stick it in my church that is 100. And it is not going to work because you're not being true to who you are. You're not being true to who your church is either. Anyway, so we want to give away a copy of that book. And so we want you to endure. And so we want to give you tools. We want to help you in to do this. And so you can email Alan at enduringchurches.consulting or Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Enduring Churches, and you can message us a little bit about you. Give us your name, address, and phone number, and a little bit about your church, and you'll be entered into the drawing for a copy of that book.
Yeah, we can't wait to hear from you. And if you've got a podcast idea for us, please put that in there too. We would love to hear some of the things you would like to hear us talk about. Or if there's one you would like us to revisit, please let us know, because that is important to us. We want to meet you right where you're at. And so, again, we thank you for joining us today. Today, we've talked about ways we tend to move the finish line on our people and our churches. When we do that, it creates confusion, frustration, disconnection. So make sure that you have some clear definitions and clear expectations in your church. Thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to catching you on our next episode.